The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitness from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certain teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread through the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to the custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up and read what was handed, a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year of acceptance to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
During this year, this liturgical year, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke. It's the year of Luke. So our Gospel today comes from the book of Luke. So let me say one or two words about Luke. He's the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. All the other writers are Jewish. He's a Gentile. Second thing about Luke is, he's very kind. His gospel is very forgiving. He speaks about the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son. He's the only one that tells us that Jesus forgives the thief when he was being crucified. So he's very a gentle gospel. Luke is not one of the 12. He would have witnessed many of the things in the life of Jesus, but he was not chosen to be one of the 12 apostles. So in a way, he's slightly removed from Jesus. Another thing about Luke is he portrays Jesus as a teacher, not a preacher. He speaks about Jesus teaching, not so much preaching. The other gospels speak about Jesus preaching. For a long time, we thought that Luke was a doctor, a physician, and therefore we had many hospitals called after Luke. St. Luke's Hospital, we used to have a hospital in Pasadena named Lester Luke's. But in recent scholarship, they discovered he couldn't have been a physician. Even though St. Paul, in his letter to Colossians, mentions Luke, my beloved physician, but Luke was a very common name, and we think that's not the same Luke that wrote the gospel. And the reason is rather interesting. In the time of Jesus, a physician, a doctor, was not an educated person. A doctor was the kind of a fellow who cut your leg off when you needed an amputation, but he wasn't an educated person. And whoever this Luke was, he was highly educated, top 5% of his time. The Greek he uses in his gospel is classical Greek, much better than the Greek in the other gospels. His gospel is fairly high-class Greek. In the other gospels, it's called Koine Greek. It's a very common Greek. But this guy is very well educated. Therefore, he was not a physician. By the way, he writes more of the New Testament than anybody else. Between the gospel, which is 24 chapters, and then the Acts of the Apostles, he writes almost a quarter of the whole New Testament. So he's very extensive, has a big presence in the New Testament. So listen to his Gospels as they come up. Now in this Gospel today, He has Jesus going into the synagogue in Nazareth, in his hometown. And he gets up to read. He's given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And the reading would have been in Hebrew, which means Jesus knew Hebrew. And then, after he has done the reading, he sits down, because the rabbi always sits down when he teaches. And he would have taught. His teaching would have been in Aramaic, because that's the language they spoke. Now, the rabbi always sat down when he was teaching, which gives us the origin of the teaching chair of Peter, you know, in Rome, the Pope's teacher, and the cathedral comes from a Latin word, cathedra, which means chair. In every cathedral, there's only one in every diocese, there's a chair reserved for the bishop, and that's the symbol of the teaching chair. And only the bishop sits in that chair. Actually, I sat in it once, but I didn't tell the bishop. But that's the teaching chair. That's cathedral, and that comes from the tradition of the rabbi being seated when he teaches. And also, we have the chair of philosophy and the chair of medicine in universities. That all comes from this tradition of the teacher being seated, and it comes up in this gospel today. So what does this gospel say to us? Jesus, reading from the prophet Isaiah, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has sent me to preach glad tidings to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to set prisoners free, and to declare a year of favor from the Lord." The year of favor goes back to the Torah, the book of Leviticus. In Bible language, 7 is a perfect number. 7 times 7, 49. The 50th day, 50th year, was a year of Jubilee, when all debts were forgiven and all slaves were set free. So he said, "Now I have come among you to declare a year of Jubilee, a new day, a new people, a new teaching." What is his new teaching? He's sent to bring good news to the poor, not to those who take care of the poor, but to those who are poor. So the only ones that can hear his good news are the poor. It's in our poverty we hear the good news. Now, in the church, we have a lot of scandal in the church. There's a lot of unhappiness in the church. And we're looking for a year of favor. We're looking for a renewal in the life of the church. And there is a need for structural renewal. We all know this. There's a need to restructure the institutional model of the church. But what's far more important, we need to renew the spiritual life of the church, because the structure is the child of the spiritual life of the church. If you read the history of the church, whenever the church was decadent, whenever the church was somehow dysfunctional, it happened because the spirituality of the church was dying. It's the spirituality we need to renew. And the way, speaking of the gospel, in which the spirituality is renewed is we become aware of our poverty. When the church stops concentrating on power and concentrates on the weakness of the church, then we will see the renewal of the spiritual life of the church. When we're captive to selfishness, we're captive to certainty. Certainty is a very dangerous condition. Intellectually, it's terminal. You have no place to go once you're certain. It paralyzes the mind. So we need to grow. We're captives to certainty. We're captives to self-interest, power. We need to be set free from this, says Jesus. And we need a year of Jubilee. We need to get, we're blind. We need to see in a new way. It's not only true in the church now. It's true in our families. It's true in our own spiritual lives. We're captive to being selfish, being certain, being stubborn, getting our way. If you're young, and you look at the old people and you say they're out of date, they're not with it. Somehow you have to take a second look at that, because somehow you're imprisoned in this notion that you know more than all the others. If you're an elder like me, and you look back on young people and you say, they're in chaos, they're all mixed up, they don't know where they're going, it means we're seeing through the eyes of selfishness. We're not appreciating the wonder of young people. We're not seeing the goodness that's in young people. The imagination, the questions, the wandering, the mistakes, all part of growing and all part of celebrating life. So it's good for us to make sure that we're set free from judgments about people. Now that happens in big ways and it happens in small ways. It happens in our families, happens in our relationships, where we're captive, we're imprisoned in our own way and our own opinion. I remember some years ago here at Holy Family, there was a little boy, he was in the fifth grade. He was serving Mass one morning, and he dropped one of those glass cruets that we use at Mass, and it broke. And I said, "Now, Billy, did you break the cruet?" And he said, "Oh, no, Monsignor." Okay, well, fine. And I let it go. And I thought to myself, he lied for self-preservation. I mean, he lied because of the overwhelming, forbidding presence of the Monsignor. It might be the way I asked him, and it was a threatening way or something I asked him, and I said no more to him, but I thought about myself, and I thought maybe if I was a little bit more gracious, if I was a little bit more kind, he would have an opportunity to be different and to tell me what he really thought. So there is a call in the gospel to be gracious and to be soft, to be kind, to welcome people, to listen. We don't listen to learn. We listen to respond. Once you're halfway through what you're saying, I've got an answer for you right away. We need to listen to learn. We need to listen to one another. The elders need to listen to the young people. The young people need to listen to the elders. That's what this gospel is about. We need to connect. You only connect when you see your weakness and you see your failures and you understand your sins. Then you'll connect. I will tell you in my life, personally, I do not have the moral high ground to make a judgment, a moral judgment about anybody. I don't have the moral righteousness to make a judgment about anyone. So I try to refrain from making judgments about people. Not because they're perfect, but because I am imperfect. And when you discover your own weakness, you're much less inclined to be hard on other people. That's what this gospel is about. Jesus Christ comes among us to meet us in our weakness, to connect with us, and calls us to connect with one another. But you have to be patient in order to connect. You have to listen. Listen with openness, with courage. Listen with honesty. In your families, where there's a conflict, there's misunderstanding. Much of this comes because we don't listen. I mean, we have to listen to one another, feel what the other person feels. Seamus Heaney, this marvelous Irish poet, tells this story in his wonderful little collection called District and Circle. In London, as Cambria would know, District and Circle are two underground different train lines. We have lots and lots of various Piccadilly line, District line, Circle line, and the Circle and District and Circle meet at a Victoria station in London. Well, he was going down into the underground to get a train, and he came upon a busker. Now, we don't know much about buskers here, but a busker is a fellow that's he sits there on the ground and he plays his violin or plays the flute, and he's got his hat there for donations. So he comes upon this busker and he thinks to himself, I could give him some money and keep going, or else maybe I should just stop and sit and listen to him. Maybe that would be a better gift to give him. I could belong to him. I could connect with him. I could understand his gift. I could appreciate him if I took time to stop and to listen to what he had to give. And he says it was a blessed moment. It was a sacred time. It was like a prayer, because he stopped and he took time and he listened to the music of this man's life. That's what Jesus is speaking about in this gospel. To bring good news to the poor, but only the poor will hear it. To set prisoners free, you will only see Jesus Christ setting you free if you understand the selfishness or wherever you find yourself somehow imprisoned. To preach a new day, a new year of Jubilee. I mean, Jesus Christ calls you, my friends. Jesus Christ calls us to be free, to celebrate life, to walk gratefully. It's a marvelous possibility, the possibility in our lives that we could walk in the power of Jesus Christ. Bless people, be kind to people, forgive, understand people, give time to people, be open. Wow, that's the teaching that Jesus gives us in this gospel reading today. And when we declare in our lives that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, it will change our lives. I want you to remember that. Amen.